Hello and welcome to the World Transformation Movement's Freedom Essay Series. I'm Tim McCartney-Snape and this is Freedom Essay 59. Shouldn't the WTM's website be toned down, all the hyperbole removed, and the congested, loud and aggressive layout replaced with a gentler, more welcoming format? By Jeremy Griffith, 2018. This essay also appears as FAQ 1.17. The WTM receives responses, especially from the younger millennial or Y generation, those under 35 in 2018 who were born between 1982 and 1998, and the subsequent Z generation, complaining about our website having imposing, even aggressive, big, bold, garish fonts and text, and loud colouring, even flashing titles, and a congested, too intense, cluttered format, and to be too pushy with off-putting hyperbole, with big claims like, this is the book that saves the world, and watch the human condition being solved and the world saved, and that you are looking like you're trying to sell something all the time, with Jeremy holding his book up, etc. All features that our university lecturers tell us to look for as being signs of someone promoting the bogus pseudoscience that characterises dangerous, deluded, mindless, mind-controlling cults, and that you just need to let the reader or viewer discover for themselves the truth and importance of your work. Basically, your website needs to offer a little bit of comfort and trust. It needs to portray Jeremy and the message with elegant simplicity and utter integrity. You'll be far more effective if you're not so loud and pushy with your message. In response, Jeremy Griffith has written the following. Having lived in denial of our alienated human condition, there has been no recognition of the ever-increasing levels of upset anger, egocentricity, and alienation as humanity's heroic but corrupting search for knowledge progressed. And, as a result, there hasn't been any recognition that the ever-accelerating increase in upset has now reached terminal levels. As I mentioned in video or essay 4, Plato broke the rules of denial when he recognised all of this when he described humans becoming conscious and able to order their course of life for themselves, and as a result, the separation from our soul occurred, when the world was let go, when the corrupt state of the human condition emerged, after which, at first, all proceeded well enough, our intellect mostly deferred to our instincts, but as time went on, there was more and more forgetting, more and more dishonest denial, with its psychosis-increasing, alienated separation from our instinctive self or soul, because it was criticising us more and more. And at last, small was the good, and great was the admixture of evil, and there was a danger of universal ruin to the world. As I said in that video, that is clearly the situation we have arrived at today, where the upset in humans is now so great we are facing the universal ruin of the world. I might mention that some 400 years before Plato, his compatriot Hesiod also truthfully recognised humanity's deterioration from, as he described it, a golden age of original innocence, to a silver age when there was still some innocence, to a bronze age when men were warlike, to a heroic age when upset was civilised, and then finally to the completely corrupt Iron Age, which has now arrived, where corrupt the race with toils and grief oppressed, nor day nor night can yield a pause of rest, speeds a swift ruin which but slow began. The fact is that on a graph of the ever-increasing levels of psychosis in humans, the levels of psychosis have been increasing so rapidly lately that the line tracking the increase is in free fall, with the amount of upset virtually doubling in each new generation. There has been a colossal change from the happiness and optimism of the 1950s and 60s, as evidenced by the excitement of the music of those eras, the golden age of pop, as U2 described it in God Part 2, to the 1980s and 90s, when technology shrunk the world so that all the angst of the rapidly escalating alienation in people and all the resulting upset horror in the world massively spread and traumatized and virtually destroyed all of the innocence of children from then on, as evidenced by the music of these subsequent generations, which changed from the 1950s and 60s excitement to frightening head-banging angst and now completely burnt-out, muted music. In paragraph 944 of Freedom, an article published in 1993 reported that 96% of American families are now dysfunctional, and that was 25 years ago. George Orwell wasn't far off the mark when he titled his book about the arrival of terminal alienation, 1984. Not only has music reflected the state of upset of current generations, so has clothing, with recent generations wearing only muted, dark and dull colours on often torn and worn out looking fabrics, with minimalist t-shirts obligatory. No one wears decorative clothing or bright colours anymore. It's like everyone is trying to outdo each other in how drab and understated they can dress. In truth, they are making an honest statement about how psychologically exhausted and alienated they actually are, which their zombie street parades further reveal. See video or essay 1. Yes, the truth really is that our streets are drudging dirges of psychological cadavers. With regard to how burnt out and muted the latest generations are, The Economist reported on a 2018 study by social scientists seeking explanations for millennials' moderate ways, said that something is up. Teenagers seem lonelier than in the past, and talked of young people becoming virtual hermits, and of taking it slow. They are slow to drink, have sex, and earn money. It said that teenagers are getting drunk on mind-numbing alcohol less often, and other escapist drugs are also falling in favour, and young people are harming each other much less than they used to. Fighting among 13 and 15-year-olds is down across Europe, and teenagers are also having less sex. It said that, in short, young people are less hedonistic and break fewer rules than in the past. They are kind of boring. The truth is that the last refuge for the terminally alienated is dissociation from the world. In fact, the epidemic numbers of children now suffering from the extremely agitated mental condition of ADHD and the completely dissociated from the world state of autism shows how Plato's predicted universal ruin stage of upset is upon us. The fact is, the paralysed can't cope with anything, aptly titled snowflake millennials, are now describing themselves as the burnout generation, although unable to acknowledge their extreme psychosis from the end play state of the human condition as a real reason for their burnout, they are blaming it on such superficial causes as stress from the overuse of smartphones and from the 2008 financial crisis to being scared of the world due to intensive helicopter parents and, in general, to the mental load produced by the systems of capitalism and patriarchy. What is so significant about this extremely rapid increase in upset is how it has affected what the current completely exhausted, universal ruin arrived end play millennial and Z generations can cope with in terms of truthful, penetrating analysis of the human condition. The fact is, these aptly titled snowflakes find any, even remote, discussion of the human condition totally unbearable. And not only can they not cope with any penetrating analysis, they demand that, like their clothing, websites be designed to comply with their backed-off, intensity-turn-right-down, dissociate-from-the-world attitude. They want lots and lots of white space or air on the pages, and the text to be as small and non-threatening as possible. This is such a contrast to members of the 60s generation and, to a somewhat lesser extent, members of the 70s generation, who expect important statements to stand out and be emphasised and don't want to have to find their way through lots of space separating what's been put forward or struggle to read unnecessarily small text. Some of our Sydney WTM Centre members have recently attended marketing seminars where they were told that anyone under the specific age of 35 can't be reached with conventional advertising. They were told the under 35s require a much more backed-off, minimalist, even oblique messaging approach. Reference to the crippled so-called snowflake state of those under the precise age of 35 has been mentioned a number of times in the media lately. For example, in an article in The Australian in August 2017, titled "The Silly Old Buggers Are Voting in Droves," columnist Nick Cater wrote that seldom, if ever, has age been such an important determinant of political attitudes in Western democracies. Millennials, who, for convenience, we will think of as voters aged 18 to 34, behave very differently from the older generations in ways that political science has yet to explain. Because, as mentioned, the resigned world can't deal with the psychological aspect of human behaviour. Millennials have a tyrannical devotion to political correctness. Because their upset is so great, they can't trust themselves to live out their upset, and therefore strict obedience to cooperative principles is all they can imagine ever working. Had the millennials prevailed in Britain in recent elections, for example, Jeremy Corbyn, the extreme socialist leader of the left-wing Labour Party, would have won by a landslide. Our own analytics feedback from marketing our understanding of the human condition reinforces just how terminally alienated the human race is becoming. Because we get virtually no response at all to our advertisements about the human condition from people under the age of 35 in 2018. For all but a rare few of those under the age of 35, the subject matter of freedom, of the all-important issue of our species' troubled human condition, has become just too confronting and unbearable to think about. Indeed, so alienated are younger generations now that any deeper thinking at all has become impossible, which is why universities provide trigger warnings on any confronting subject matter, safe spaces for students to escape reality, and protection from microaggressions. In fact, as mentioned, millennials are being described as snowflakes because they melt if placed under any pressure. It certainly is endgame for the human race when humans completely give up on thinking, which is what has happened to those under 35. Universities have been places of learning, but how can you learn and seek truth if you aren't prepared, expected, or even challenged to think anymore? Here in this essay, an image appears depicting a university student, arms crossed, standing outside a university building next to a sign that reads, "Welcome back, students, to your university safe space. Please issue a trigger warning if you are about to commit a microaggression. Thanks, the management." The student's brain has sprouted legs and is leaping from his head, saying, "So long, you won't be needing me." An article titled "Coming to Grips with the Millennial Mind" provides another example of just how tragically alienated current generations are. "I can no longer teach with these new brains," says an exasperated mathematics lecturer at the University of Sydney. The core problem, she says, is the diminishing capacity of undergraduates for linked thinking. And it's not just a problem in the classroom. They struggle to understand why they're feeling the way they do. They've trained themselves in first-step thinking. Their worlds are constructed of disconnected moments. The digital revolution has come on so fast that the brain is being remade in decades, not eons. They don't turn up for lectures and they don't ask questions. They have no idea about the interactive process. She describes a sea of glazed eyes. Obviously, the one subject that absolutely requires linked, interactive thinking is the issue of the human condition. So the reality is, millennials and subsequent generations cannot be reached by us. which is evidenced by the fact that, as I mentioned, our analytics show that we get virtually zero response to our advertisements from them. The extent of the deaf effect our analysis of the human condition causes the resigned mind is complete in the case of millennials and subsequent generations. What the comments we have received from millennials and subsequent generations amount to is a demand that we stop presenting truthful, confronting information. Basically, they want us to dumb it down, stop telling the truth, retreat right back deep into the darkest corner of Plato's cave of denial where they are living. While the inclination of all resigned minds is to want us to dumb down our website, make it less confronting, millennials and subsequent generations absolutely demand that we do so. But the whole point of my work, and indeed of the efforts of the whole human race, has been to get out of that dishonest, soul-dead cave of denial where the human race has been so horribly incarcerated. So, the reality is that the initial appreciation and support of our work of bringing understanding of the human condition is going to have to come from people over 34, those who actually expect important statements to stand out and be emphasised, and don't want to have to find their way through lots of space separating what's been put forward or struggle to read small text, which is why our website is designed the way it is. It caters for the over 34s and not at all for the under 35s. The objective then for the marketing of this world-saving understanding of the human condition is for the over 34s to initiate appreciation and support of the understanding, and for that support to then encourage millennials and the following Z generation to persevere with the explanation sufficiently to overcome the deaf effect, and so also become appreciative supporters of the explanation. In fact, the millennial and Z generations will love the transformed way of living that understanding of the human condition makes possible, see Freedom Essay 15, more than anyone else, because they, more than anyone else, want something to live for that is more meaningful than their own unfortunately wretched lives. And, incidentally, having to depend on over 34-year-olds being able to access and appreciate understanding of the human condition is a real and frightening measure of the extremely serious, fast-running-out-of-time situation the human race is in. Since we know this information and its transforming ability is the only thing that can save the world, it is an incredibly serious situation where we have to attract support from those older than 34-year-olds, or all is lost for the human race. The already present terminally alienated state of the millennial and subsequent generations evidences just how the human race is on the very threshold of extinction. See Freedom Essay 55 for more on the endgame state that the human race has arrived at. With regard to the big claims being off-putting and smacking of hubris and a lack of integrity, that issue is responded to in Freedom Essay 54 and WTM FAQ 1.9, where it is explained that while our big claims do attract extreme scepticism, they are actually true and therefore should be stated. You don't hide an illuminating lamp, in this case the understanding needed to save the world from fast approaching terminal distress and dysfunction, under a bed. No, you put it on a pedestal where it belongs. Certainly, what appear to be outrageously hubristic claims can initially be off-putting, but in time they become appreciated for their forthright honesty in indicating where the solution to our problems lies. The comment about not putting an illuminating lamp under a bed, but on its pedestal, is actually a comment Christ made when he was accused of deluded hubris. Christ said, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand?" It is necessary to say the truth about how important this information really is, especially since it is bringing relieving understanding to the most important yet most denied subject of all of the human condition. Since it's well known that denials fight back with a vengeance when faced with annihilation, and the human condition is the most denied of all subjects, it follows that the inevitable vengeance against having the human condition exposed has to be met by extremely strong counter-resistance, or the vengeance will win out. That counter-resistance begins with an unequivocal defence of how important these understandings of the human condition really are. Socrates was given the option of either recanting his honest words, in particular his assertion that we have to face, not avoid, the issue of the human condition, when he said, "The unexamined life is not worth living," and "The only good is knowledge, and the only evil is ignorance, or being put to death." And because he didn't bow to his persecutors and accepted death, that act of defiance set the stage for the great flowering of Western civilization. The truth about the human condition has to be stood solidly up, put squarely on its stand, not watered or dumbed down at all. Christ understood this principle. He knew that all his denial-free, human condition-confronting, not avoiding, honest words about human life were going to meet extreme resistance, and that he would have to totally defy that resistance and stand by the importance of his human condition exposing honesty, even though the persecution was going to be so great it would mean his crucifixion. Freedom Essay 39 has a wonderful description of the life of Christ and its importance. Christ's defence of truth against denial created Christianity, the most followed faith in the world. The WTM is not about creating a faith, but about ending the need for faith, belief and dogma. But the human condition confronting, not avoiding, nature of our work requires the same need for firm defiance of denial. Socrates didn't bend to his persecutors who wanted to reimpose denial, force him to retreat back into Plato's cave of denial. And Christ didn't bend to his persecutors who wanted to reimpose denial and have him retreat back into Plato's dark cave. And we in the WTM mustn't bend to those who want to reimpose denial on us. So while we are forever being told to dumb it down, make what is presented less confronting, we mustn't and won't do that. This has to be the denial-free, liberating truth that it is, because, as Christ also said, only the truth will set you free. Sure, people will initially be hugely skeptical and deaf, but we mustn't bend to that skepticism and deafness. And we haven't bent. And, like Socrates and Christ, we were also horribly persecuted, in effect killed, crucified, for being so truthful and ended up successfully fighting what was at the time the biggest defamation action in Australia's history against our persecutors. So we walk confidently and authoritatively through all the outrageously dishonest and vengeful accusations swirling around us. And by doing that, in time, the truth catches up with the lie. And everyone treasures the safe haven of truth that we have defended in the rapidly increasing sea of lies and madness everywhere else on planet Earth. See Freedom Essay 56 on the defiant stand the WTM has taken against attacks on its work. With regard to any accusation or suspicion that what we are presenting is pseudoscience, certainly the world is awash with all manner of dishonest, deluded charlatans and irrational pseudoscience with, as explained in video or essay 14, the current all-dominating practice of mechanistic science actually being one of the worst examples of deluded, irrational pseudoscience. But any fair scrutiny of my human condition confronting, not avoiding treatise, will quickly reveal it is carefully argued and evidenced, and fully accountable, first principle-based science. And with regard to the WTM having any similarity with cults that have been set up by deluded megalomaniac charlatans to seduce those who are desperate for relief from the battle of the human condition, the false prophet merchants of delusion and denial that Christ warned about, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves, the vultures who gather wherever there is a carcass, an exhausted human, see paragraph 1126 of Freedom, That accusation is dealt with in Freedom SA 56 and WTM FAQ 3.12, where it is explained that the WTM is very easily differentiated from such mindless organisations because, again, it is a movement based on mindful science. In fact, what the WTM's website presents has so much integrity, it is the first truly scientific treatise about life since Darwin, and about human behaviour ever. Here ends Jeremy Griffiths' essay. You've been listening to Freedom SA 59, which you can read by clicking on the Read Essay button on your device or by going to the WTM homepage at www.humancondition.com, where all the essays and videos can be found. To learn more about a topic that was raised in this podcast, please go to the written version of the essay because it includes references to other relevant Freedom essays, as well as the sources of any quotes used. You can watch Jeremy Griffith present the breakthrough redeeming explanation of the human condition in video or essay 3, or read chapter 1 of Freedom. These essays were created in 2017 to 2021 by Jeremy Griffith, Damon Isherwood, Fiona Cullen-Ward and Bronnie Fitzgerald of the Sydney WTM Centre. I'm Tim McCartney-Snape. Thanks for listening.